Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, November 11th, a time for reflection. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought also comes from the works of Alice Bailey. Men deal with effects and not with causes. For instance, mankind is concerned with war and with horrified preparations for more war and is not primarily occupied with the causes of war. Well, what does cause war? Aren't there as many reasons as there are wars?
Yes, in one sense, I suppose you could say every war is unique and different, and its origins are unique to the time and the situation. But on the other hand, there is an underlying unity to war that Alice Bailey pointed out. She said that the basis of all wars is fundamentally the sense of separateness. You don't go to war with peoples, groups, nations with whom you feel any bond. There has to be a sense of separation, a sense of the other, of the enemy, of them versus us. And she said this fundamental individualism, this pleased recognition of isolationism, is what fosters a secondary cause of all war, and that's greed, the economic factor that's behind almost every war when you think about it. The pursuit of more territory, the defense of property, the desire to possess what another nation or group has and to claim it as your own. This is why people go to war and have done so since time immemorial.
Right, and it's comes right back to the individual and how they are able to handle the energies that are pouring through them, and whether it's focused in their desire bodies or a desire nature, and usually that's where it's focused, and that's why so much of the causes of war are based on greed and selfishness and separateness and all of that and those kind of forces. So we are at a stage now in the development of humanity when we should be working our way above this point of focus, I think, you know, above the emotional stage. And we should be able to begin building relationships, and we are, because, you know, look at what they've done in Europe. Europe was a battlefield for centuries, and now they have created this union, and it's the whole basis for the relationships there are common needs. And it's those kind of things that really prevent war, that those kind of attitudes that eventually prevent war.
There's also in the European Union a willingness to sacrifice. Sometimes it's grudging. I have many European friends that talk about the new demands of the European Union. But the sacrifice comes out of a recognition that the alternative, staying separate and apart, is much, much worse. And Europe knows this better than anybody. It is remarkable, the growth of the European Union. And this program, November 11th, A Time for Reflection, is based on the hideous devastation of the World War in phases 1 and 2, which Alice Bailey viewed as one long war beginning in 1914 and culminating in 1945. The date November 11th, for those who may be wondering, is when the armistice was signed at the end of the First World War in 1918. And interestingly, it was signed on November 11th, the 11th month of the year, the 11th day of the 11th month. And you mentioned at 11 a.m. in the morning.
At 11 a.m. in the morning, yes. And it's 11-11-11.
And there's another 11 in this, because I was doing a little bit of arithmetic here, and this is 100 years minus 11 before the centennial of that armistice.
And I was born on the 11th also.
Well, there we are. That caps it. Well, 11 is an interesting number. If you like to study numerology, it's a master number. According to the numerologists, the people that study number and try to figure out the vibrations of different numbers, 11, like 22, is a master number.
Oh, right.
And, and I think humanity did achieve a mastery of its inclinations to go to war. It thought that the First World War was the war to end all wars. However, we were wrong, but there was that spirit on November 11th, 1918, that this was the end of war. It led to the League of Nations, when there would be international understanding, peace, and goodwill among all peoples.
But it was obvious that we hadn't resolved a lot of the problems that still stood in the way of relationships, you know, among nations.
Economic problems,
yeah.
And the economic factor.
And a lot of it had to do with what they did to Germany, and there was no help for Germany, and Germany was devastated in that war, as was other nations as well, but there was no attempt to help the economic situation in Germany, and that's why it led to uprising of the Nazi regime, which of course led to Hitler and his gang of evildoers. So there was much more that needed to be resolved. There are many more questions, and of course the Bailey books, many of the Alice Bailey books were written during that time, the 1920s and 30s and early 1940s. So there is a lot in those books about the war and the reasons and causes of war. And at that time, that particular war, World War I, World War II, were not looked upon as, at least by the overseeing members of the hierarchy, it wasn't looked upon as such a big tragic event. It was a great time of liberation. Even though there are like 50 million souls that died in that war on both sides, on all sides, it was a great, tremendous releasing of souls and a releasing of old ways of doing and old ways of thinking and the destruction of these old patterns of thought and old patterns of governments, and that was very necessary.
Yes, it the thought forms of materialistic living that had been built up according to the ageless wisdom since the growth of the industrial age in the 1800s, the materialism of human society, human thinking, human aspiration had become so dense that it needed shattering. A blow that would just shatter that thought form of materialism. And that's what the war did. It broke apart a basic attitude toward life, a conditioning view of life that needed shattering. Mm-hmm. And there was great suffering in the aftermath of this, but those who know history and who understand the culture at the time, I don't know if they would say that it could have been done any other way, do you?
Well, probably not during that time, because the nations of the world weren't necessarily awakened enough, and they're just, for example, the United States, they had a tremendously strong force of isolationism at
mm-hmm.
that time,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we didn't get into the war sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's kind of strange, because now we have the tendency to rush into war. At least the present war seems as if
right.
it's one that we just rushed into.
Yeah.
Not in World War II or one.
But there's another interesting point about this, and that's the when we mentioned the destruction of the form. You know, cities were destroyed, form buildings and institutions and factories and so forth, and millions of individuals were also destroyed. Their bodies were destroyed, but it didn't destroy the soul. And it's the release of all of these souls that was also a great cleansing effect, because it allowed... First of all, it was a group exit almost, because it represented a mass group soul that was involved in the death and destruction. But that released a lot of soul energy so that those souls could come back into a better life the next time around.
But I think you have to be careful with that kind of viewpoint, because Hitler thought he was cleansing the world with the release of a lot of souls.
Yeah.
Jewish people, gypsies, homosexuals, anybody that disturbed him. It's part of the ageless wisdom teaching that we have to be very sensitive to. I think you're speaking about the destruction of bodies in a kind of universal human sense, and not any particular
right. But what I'm trying to say is that we tend to see the destruction of the people die, thousands
mm-hmm.
of people die. They are our loved ones,
yeah.
and it's a very painful process of sacrifice that they had to go through. And we tend to look at the destruction of the physical body as being the all and the end all,
mm-hmm.
when in fact it isn't,
mm-hmm.
Because the soul doesn't really die. It continues on. And until, I guess, one is able to identify more closely with the soul, then there will always be this attachment to, emotional attachment to, the form life, whether it be a loved one or our own homes or buildings or whatever.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, November 11th, A Time for Reflection. We have a special offer today from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19. The discount comes in the form of free shipping if you mention Inner Sight. So just write a little notation down, say that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. You you'll be eligible to receive this book then. So what you need to do, send a check, money order, $19 to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. This was one of the early books that I read when I was developing an interest in Alice Bailey and her literature. And I think it was very good for someone beginning to read her books, because here you have all the major topics from all 24 books of esoteric philosophy that she wrote. And every one of them is abridged, and you more or less develop a sense of the order of priority, which topic that you'd like to look at first, and it really really helps you as you go on and read the books. So once again, if you'd like to take advantage of this offer, the book is Ponder on This. It's an Alice Bailey book, available for $19. You need to send check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. 1-800-520-1005. If you'd like to take advantage of, if you'd like to order books or cassette tapes or general information, a package of general information, or for any other reason, give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Also, we appreciate your donations, both large and small. It's what keeps us on the air. And if you'd like to continue helping us to support by supporting this show, send donations to LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. All of our InnerSight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. So once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And I'd like us to continue with our topic today. The topic is November 11th, a time for reflection. It's interesting that Alice Bailey looks at World War I and World War II as a continuous war.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that before,
mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. What does she feel that they just took a break between one war
kind
and another?
A little interlude of about, 25 years?
Well, it's not really that long, relatively speaking.
30 years, from 1918 to about 1938. Things started up again.
But she really felt that it was a very strong connection, I guess.
Yes, and because there was unfinished business, as Dale mentioned, the economic humiliation of Germany left them bitter, bitter, and impoverished. And the people were destitute enough to be responsive to a leader like Hitler. And so she saw a connection between the wrong, incomplete resolution of the problem at the end of World War I and the beginning of World War II.
Yeah, I think that's why she mentions a lot about the spiritual hierarchy and their attitude and towards war. And one would think that why would God allow such devastation to occur to us, and why, that this question always comes up when faced with death, why me, why us? Why does he allow war to happen? Well, God looks at this whole situation in a much different way. He sees it from the spiritual perspective and what he is trying to, and also from the perspective of what God is trying to work out through the human activity in the world, through the human kingdom. And what the war did was release many souls. It created a great sense of liberation from the old attitudes, the old ways of ruling, from the ruling class, from the materialism, the dense materialism that was ruling at the time, and it created what she said was a turning point in the world, and humanity was turned towards the good as a result of that war. And
well, one thing that came out of the war that definitely was a turn towards the good was the formation of the United Nations in the aftermath. Is that?
Yes, I mean, because men had become awakened enough to see the value of the United Nations and the great need for a world organization, for a forum where nations could come together and discuss their differences.
And I wish that we could today appreciate the need for the United Nations instead of constantly bemoaning it. I'm referring to the United States and wishing we could go our own iconoclastic, isolationist way. We would be, at least some of us, would be happy to do that. That's the attitude that the U.S. had prior to World War II. We didn't want to get involved. I'm reading a book Doris Kearns Goodwin's book, No Ordinary Time, about the United States in the leadership of Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt. And he had to play such a delicate hand in bringing the U.S. into the war. He knew that we had to become involved because it was a fight against evil. And the United States could not sit out that war. And yet the American people in large numbers didn't want to get involved. And again, the attitude today is that we don't need the United Nations. What good does it do for us? We can go our own way. That's our weak point, I think, as a nation.
Right. Well, still has this kind of isolationist, go-it-alone kind of attitude.
Happy to do it.
And it's still leading us into war. We still haven't apparently learned enough of the lesson, although I think there are a huge group of people in this country that do realize that and do appreciate that. So
we were willing to defy the Security Council of the United Nations to go into Iraq.
Mm-hmm. So it's still a question that has to be worked out here in this country. But I think there is also this whole question of evil comes up, and we have to realize that we were fighting a very definite cosmic evil at that time during the war. Mm-hmm. And it had taken possession of Hitler and the small group of men directly around him, and that's what made it so solidified and anchored, because there was a small group that were willing to anchor this energy, and it was a cosmic energy that was working through this group, and Hitler's and his men didn't have the heart quality enough to see the benefits of working with other nations and cooperating with other nations. His whole intent was to take over other nations and to dominate them. And so if we get into the whole energy that were at work at that time, then we see a whole different perspective.
It's very hard to imagine how all of that looks from the perspective of the hierarchy, the masters of the wisdom. But Alice Bailey said that there is much destruction that is permitted by the custodians of the plan, and much evil turned into good because they can see the end from the beginning. They can see the whole picture, the complete whole of what's working out. And she said, sensitivity to world suffering is a divine characteristic, but when it's qualified by emotion, it becomes separative, she said. Separative in interpretation and focused in partisanship and personalities, too much reliance on protection of the form, of the outer shell, rather, than of allowing the spiritual dynamic destructive energy to clear away that which has to be eliminated and allow for something new to come in.
Yes, and this is where the hierarchy sees their essential purpose in existence is for to work out the plan of God through humanity and on earth. And that's why they don't look at destruction in quite the same way that we do. We see the destruction of the form and we're horrified by it, but for them it may be a blessing for some old worn out attitudes of mind. And it's not just buildings or the forms of human beings, it's old attitudes of thought,
ideologies,
and emotional focus that has to be also destroyed. And so these are the things that the members of the hierarchy look at.
Alice Bailey made an interesting comment about the use of fire in the World War. Both in the First and the Second World War, fire was such a prevalent symbol of the war, the huge guns and so on that created such devastation. She said that symbolized the war on the level of the mind, because fire is the symbol of the mind. And the raging fires of the World War were symbolic of the changing mental attitudes that came about in humanity as a result of the war. The mind of human beings was opened up, expanded to a more universal consciousness as a real result of suffering.
And you can see the result in the past 50 years since the end of World War II, what tremendous awakening has brought upon the world.
Well, the end of colonialism, establishing of the State of Israel, of the division of India in terms of Muslims and Hindus. What else? The
whole technological revolution has created an entirely different world, and it's now so much more interrelated that it's the situation we just didn't have at that time in the 1930s and 40s.
It's as if humanity took an initiation, and perhaps it did as a result of the war.
Right.
Because Alice Bailey said the spiritual tendency to blend and synthesize results often on the form side in destruction and wreckage, which is interesting to ponder. And that causes pain and sorrow, but on the life side, it results in release, liberation, and expansion. And she says this tendency to synthesis that often is accompanied by destruction is the basic cause of all initiation, whether we're talking about an individual, a race, or a planet.
Yes, and so the great sacrifice of the men and women in during the World War I and II hasn't been for naught. I mean, it has been for a good cause, because we have arisen from the ashes, and the phoenix is rising again, kind of thing.
You know, something you said earlier resonated with me, and that was that when nations bond together, there is no war. And it just reminded me that how at one time every state in the United States was a separate nation,
mm-hmm.
and now it would be ridiculous for California to bomb New York.
Yeah.
So you've been listening. A special offer from Lucis Publishing Company is Ponder on This. Ponder on This is available for $19. It's discounted. Send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.